Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Dave from Beacon Falls Congregational Church, and you've tuned in to our live stream of our services this morning. We're so very glad to have you. And several things I'll be doing this morning, but right up front, I want to let you know we'll be taking prayer requests throughout our service, and we have the capability of taking those prayer requests, and we'll have prayer for them at the conclusion of the service. And so we want to encourage you to just get those in, write them in, and as we accumulate those, we'll have prayer a little bit later. But since it's a public forum, don't be too personal with those requests. And but I invite you to give them to us, and we'll pray in just a few moments. Let's open our time together with a word of prayer, all right? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done. We directly go to thinking of who you are, your greatness, your awesome power, your awesome presence, and your omniscience. You are eternal, your creator God. There's nothing impossible to you. And though we know these are difficult times, we stand here in your presence this morning knowing that you're in complete control. There's nothing you cannot do, and we are assured today that you are going to take care of all of us. I pray today that you might touch those that are fearful, touch those who perhaps are ill, sick with the virus. Lord, different needs, different situations, that you might answer all of them according to your timing, according to your will. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to come to you in this way and be able to share your word on live stream. And we just pray that you'll be a blessing and bless those that listen and participate here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been trying over the last few days, trying to get my head around what is going on and what we've been through. Things have changed really not only by the day but by the hour. We're going through an unprecedented worldwide public health crisis and a challenge with the spread of coronavirus. And what started as a public health threat has also contributed to a worldwide business and economic threat. There is much uncertainty, much fear. Some have said that our society, our world, has not been disrupted like this since World War II. And so really none of us have ever experienced what we're going through now. But I just share with you some observations, and I'm sure you have many too. But as I think about all of this, I realize that the number of people infected worldwide is exploding. Over 200 here in Connecticut, and I understand that there are over 12,000 people that are infected in New York. There are unforeseen pressures on our medical centers and may soon be overwhelmed. Many companies are having their employees work from home. People are furloughed, some losing their jobs outright. Schools are closed. Businesses closed, some perhaps that will never open again. Churches closed, airlines reducing flights, public gatherings canceled, and masses of people now are under lockdown. Whole towns and cities, entire states under lockdown. Even our Governor Lamont has suspended non-essential work, non-essential activities, and said, stay safe, stay at home. Almost overnight, the stock market has declined over 30%. The Federal Reserve Bank has dropped their lending rate to banks to zero. Our government is appropriating astounding amounts of money for this situation. Now, Congress is wrestling with trying to pass a $1 trillion bailout to help us through all of this. As somebody said recently, as all of this has been playing out, and they said, how's the situation in America? This person said, life in America is on hold. life in America is on hold. And that's one perspective. But I would say to you this morning, as we think about all of these negative things, all of these very discouraging and depressing things, that the church is not on hold. The church continues to go on. What we are experiencing may be unprecedented, and it is. People may be and are anxious and afraid for their health, for their finances, their jobs, their businesses. And these are all real fears, and I understand. And people are experiencing things that they've never experienced before. And not only that, they're experiencing them on such a quick, very fast level. The pace is breathtaking. But I say this to you, and we must not forget this, those of us as believers in Jesus Christ, we have unprecedented opportunities to share Jesus Christ with the world. I think people are perhaps more open to hearing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ today than ever before. And so there are many things we can do. We don't want to get wrapped up with fear of the situation. But I sent an email out to our church family earlier this week, and there's some things that I shared with you, five things, and let me just repeat them to you again in a little bit different format, but those are basically the same things. Came out of where we're going to speak in just a few moments from Matthew 14, and you can turn to that passage if you'd like, Matthew 14. But in that passage, it's the story of the disciples going through a storm, and Jesus, in order to get to them, literally walked on the water. Five principles in that. First of all, I encourage our folks to have faith and not fear. Don't get wrapped up with fear. Put your faith in the only one who has the solution. Secondly, pray, don't panic. And there are several things we can pray for. For instance, let me encourage you to ask God in his mercy to stop this pandemic and spare lives. Many people all over the globe are not only getting sick, but losing their lives to this virus. So let's ask God to be merciful to us and to stop this virus. Secondly, I ask you to pray for wisdom for our president and for our government leaders and all of the medical officials that are involved in trying to navigate us through all of these difficulties. I also ask you to pray for all medical care providers as they toil to care for the sick and to find a vaccine. They say that is months away before they can even develop something. But let's pray that God will help them as they are right out there on the front lines trying to bring some answers. I ask you to pray for business owners who are trying to survive this pandemic and all the economic downturn. And I pray, while you pray for them, pray for those losing their jobs. Pray for the loss of wages and the economic fears and financial fears that so many face. I ask you to pray also that people can see the fragileness of life, to see the brevity and the uncertainty of life, that they might come to Jesus as Savior and Lord, that they may realize that Jesus is the only one. He's the only solution. He's the only one that can meet their need. And then I ask you to pray for all the churches, all believers, but certainly to pray for our church and for one another as we navigate and move through all of the events of the days ahead. So have faith and not fear. Pray and don't panic. And then thirdly, believe God. Don't blame him. Believe God through this time. Don't blame God for the things that have happened. Fourthly, respond and don't run. Now, there's several things we can do. And I ask you to respond in the right way. And we can do that by following the counsel of our government, our doctors, all the officials who are involved in all of this. So let's follow what they say and be serious about it. Let's take this thing seriously. Let's practice social distancing without being distant. Check on your friends and your neighbors. And we can reach out in safe ways to encourage the downhearted and to care for the hurting. The virus cannot be spread over the phone. It cannot be spread over the internet. So we can connect in these ways with our loved ones, with our friends, and our neighbors. I ask you to listen and remind others of God's perspective, of God's love, and God's grace. Do not forget how much God loves us. Do not forget that He operates with us in His grace. And let's look at things from God's perspective. And as you talk to people, as you connect with people, point them to Jesus. And during our service hiatus, I want to remind you that we will live stream our services at this time every week. And in addition to that, I'm going to establish some regular communication with you. I hope to at least two times a week to get on social media and to communicate, to update you on things that are of a pertinent nature, to encourage you as we struggle through the things that are presented before us, and to prevent isolation before us. And so I'll try to keep communicating, and you can communicate to us, and hopefully we can keep the communication lines open as we work out the days ahead. I say to thee, and I promise you that ministry will continue. Our committees, our leaders are setting up now, is trying to establish some ways to communicate and keep our meetings going in a safe way, in an effective way, and ministry will continue, will not stop. And I see it as a way that gives us an opportunity to be more creative than ever before. And we have some opportunities to do things that we've never done before. So let us know what your needs are. Let us know how we can help you, how we can minister to you. This is not a time to try to be quiet. This is a time when the church gathers together, which it unites, it moves together. We help one another, and we'll have an opportunity to help others and each other in ways that we never had before. And I also want to encourage you that as we go through this, continue to give to the church. We'll give you some instructions in the days ahead how that may be a little bit easier for you. But we want to, you realize that the church continues to have expenses as we go through this. So as you can trust God, continue to give that the needs might be met. So have faith and not fear. Pray, don't panic. Believe God and don't blame Him. Respond, don't run, and be assured, not angry. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. Don't get overwhelmed. Get angry at God or the situation or at people. This is a time, really, we can trust God like never before, and we can see what God might want to do in our lives. So after saying all those things, I'm very encouraged as I look into the scriptures, and these are things that I hope to add on to this in our updates and our communication with you in the days ahead. But this morning, I want to share with you some words of encouragement out of the Word of God from Matthew chapter 14, and I want to read to you, you'll follow along with me, in verses 22 to verse 33 as the background of our comments that I'm going to make in just a moment. Verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. So here's a story, one of the great stories in the Bible is how Jesus is with us in the storm. We see here a great progression of faith for the disciples. This story records a major step in the development of the faith of the disciples. You see all of these things happen, as I just read, and it closes out in verse 33 with worship. Then those who were in the boat, all of these disciples, they worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So in spite of everything that happened, and perhaps because of what happened, these disciples bowed down, fell on their faces, and worshiped Jesus as the Son of God. So a major step in their development, their character of their faith in Jesus. And so we receive insight into God's care for us as his children as we look at this story. You and I, even before coronavirus came along, that we've always faced difficulties. We've had problems and difficulties where we've exhibited little faith and we've experienced much fear. And perhaps we have at different times felt that God abandoned us. And certainly that's going on in a lot of people's hearts, a lot of people's lives and in their minds today. And it gets to the point where we wonder if we'll survive as he tests our obedience. And I may be talking to someone even this morning that you're fearful of what's going to happen. You're fearful of the days ahead. You're fearful of the things that, all the problems and things that could happen to you personally and to your world, to our world. And as we look at this story, I think God gives us some encouragement, because here was a time where Jesus was very, very popular in his ministry. He had just fed thousands of people with a few fishes and a few pieces of bread. And we must understand that through his life, through his ministry, he was always trying to build our faith. John the Baptist, when he was in prison, after God had used him in a great way, he sent word to Jesus and said, "Are you the Messiah that we've been waiting for, or should we wait for someone else?" Jesus asked the disciples in Matthew 16 who do people say that I am? And the disciples said, "Well, some say you're Jeremiah. Others say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" And they said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so these disciples were getting a handle on who Jesus really was. And sometimes we go through difficulties like this because it's necessary for every one of us to really understand, not who we think Jesus is, but who he really is. As this crowd of thousands were fed by him miraculously, they then wanted to come to him, kidnap him, and make him a king by force. Jesus said, "I bring you a different kingdom. I bring you a spiritual kingdom. I'm not setting up a physical kingdom." But they didn't want to hear that. They wanted Jesus to be their king and to feed them and to give them all of their desires. So after he fed them, he sent the fickle crowd away, dismissed them. And then he sent the disillusioned and the disappointed disciples into a boat and told them to go to the other side of the lake. Why would Jesus do some things like this? Many of us would see all the hoopla and all the excitement, and we'd get really excited because we love a crowd. We love the excitement of things like that. But you see, Jesus, he's always been concerned about much more than minimal devotion. He wants more than just shallow commitment. He wants a genuineness and authenticity in our worship of him. So these problems transpired And they worked out to bring these disciples ultimately to worship him as they were confronted with his divine nature. So there are five aspects of Jesus' divine nature, proving that he is God, that we're going to look at in this passage. We're going to cover three of them today, and next week we're going to cover two more. And so may we see these things, these characteristics of Jesus, as we go through the crisis we're facing today. As we look at COVID-19 we struggle with it, let us not miss Jesus. Let us not miss God. Let us see God working in the midst of all of this. So let me share with you three things today, as in our time that we have. The first one is Jesus' divine authority. Jesus' divine authority. First of all, we see that he was in control. When he had fed the crowd, thousands of people, then he dismissed the crowd, and he told the disciples to leave also. He sent the crowd away, and the disciples to the other side of the lake, and neither one of them wanted to go. The crowd wanted to make him a king. They wanted what they wanted. The disciples wanted to be in on the action. They liked all the things that were happening, and all of their hopes and all of their dreams of a physical kingdom were finally, they thought, going to be had. And yet, Jesus said no, and he sent them away. I want to remind you this morning, no matter what is happening all around us, no matter how much of an upheaval in our world, no matter all the chaos all around the globe, do not forget this. He is in control. He is in control of everything. You may not see it. You may not want to believe it. You may be struggling with fear. You may be controlled by fear right now. But understand, Jesus is in control. He told the disciples as he sent them out, after he was crucified and rose from the dead, he told the disciples that he had all authority, he said, is given to me. He has all authority. He's in control. Do not forget that as you live through this crisis. But also, as we see this happening, he was in prayer. He sent the disciples, he sent the crowd away. And after he dismissed them, the scriptures tell us in verse 23 that he went up into a mountain alone and he prayed. He prayed to his Father. The disciples, as I said, were disillusioned. They were disappointed. They were trying to be obedient as they got out on that lake to get to the other side. He had told them to meet me get on the other side. And in the middle of the lake, we read in verse 24 that they were buffeted by the storm. They were tossed to and fro by the waves, and that's a word that means to be tormented, to be tested by torture. So they were in a terrible time, a very difficult time, a very scary, frightening time. And I understand that on the lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, the way it's situated in a valley, there's unbelievably strong winds that come up on a moment's notice. And you have tremendous waves, tremendous billowing, and the storms are quite scary, even for experienced fishermen. So here they are trying to be obedient, trying to get to the other side, as he instructed, with little success. It was dark. It was gloomy. It was violent waves, violent storm, and the waves were raging. But the worst of all, above all of that, there was no Jesus. Jesus was not to be found. They had no idea where he was. Now, scriptures tell us that there was another time that there was a storm. But that time, Jesus was in the boat with them. They went back to the back of the boat. They woke him up. He got up and he calmed the storm like that. That wasn't happening this time. And while they are battered and they're tormented and they're tortured by the storm, he quietly and calmly is in the presence of the Father on their behalf. They didn't know it, but Jesus was praying for them. They didn't know it, but they were secure. They were in the hands of God. And you may not know it this morning, But you are just as secure as these disciples were. You are in the hands of God because Jesus, God in the flesh, the Son of God, is praying for you. And he's allowing only what fits into his plan. But he is able to take care of you. He has all authority. He has all authority over nature. He has all authority over disease. He's in control. Do not forget that. Keep that as your focus as you move through this disease and through the storms of life right now. Secondly, we also see in this story that second characteristic of his deity is that he had divine knowledge. Divine knowledge. He knows our situation. There's nothing that he's ever surprised about. Here's these disciples. It said they were in the fourth watch of the night, and the Jewish night was divided up into four different watches, and this was the last 3 hours, the last watch, but somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., and they were struggling in the boat. Probably had been there some 5 to 6 hours trying to go just 4 miles to get to the other side. They thought they were alone. They thought they were all by themselves. But he knew exactly where they were. He knows exactly where you are this morning. He knows exactly what's going in your life. He knows exactly what you're challenged with. He knows exactly what you're afraid of. He said in Psalm, the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4, he said, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." So there's nothing that he does not know about you. He knew exactly where they were. He knows exactly where you are this morning. Distance was no barrier. Distance is no barrier for him today. Darkness, though it was pitch black out, it was not a barrier to Jesus. It's not a barrier to him today. He knows our distress. He knows our circumstances. He knows how to get to us. He who made the sea could easily walk on it if he so pleased, which he did. He knows. And because he knows, he tests our faith. He tests our faith. They had been rowing all night, and he took a long time to come. There they were, all alone, in their minds perhaps forsaken by Jesus, wondering where he was. In the fourth notch of the night. And you see, they just wonder, where was he? You see, if we never have a storm, we'll never know that he can handle a storm. If we don't have a problem, we don't know that he can handle that problem. We will never see his power until we're strung out to the extremity. It's in the impossibility of our situation that we see his power. Why work a miracle if you're not in need of a miracle? And he works miracles when his people are in need of miracles. He knows everything this morning, folks, about us. He knows our needs. He knows our location. He knows our challenges. He knows our circumstances. He said again in Psalm 139, the psalmist said, "If I ascend to the top of the mountain, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol or in hell," he says, "you're there too. If I dwell in the depths of the sea, you're there." There's no place that we can go where he is not. He knows everything. He told, as he dealt with Moses and called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land, he told Moses, he says, "I've watched my people. I see my people. I know their affliction. I know what they've been going through. And now I'm going to lead them out." The fullness of time. God's perfect timing. And sometimes we think God doesn't move fast enough. But let me tell you, he is never late. But he's always exactly on time. Maybe not your time. Maybe not my time. But his time. He's constantly, continually successfully working out his plan in this old world. And the howling wind and the crashing waves do not affect him because he walks on it. He not only came in the storm to these disciples, he came on it. And we must realize that though there's a storm raging around us in the guise of this virus, he not only will come, if we will look and watch, be sensitive, he not only will come in this disease, he will come on it. You see, he uses so often the very trial, the very storm that we face as his pathway. We cannot be hidden from him. He reminds us in Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Hebrews 4, 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him in whom we must give account. He never misses a thing. Everything is known by him. He sees it all. So there's his divine authority, his divine knowledge, and lastly this morning, his divine protection. He comes to us. The disciples were out there rowing, and all of a sudden they looked out into the storm and they saw a figure walking right on top of the waves. And the Bible tells us that they were troubled when they saw him walking on the sea, so much so, it says in verse 26, they thought they saw a ghost. And so they were panicked and were terrified. They were literally horrified. They were more afraid of the figure on top of the water than they were of the storm that they had been experiencing. As Jesus came, he was just taking a stroll like you and I would take a stroll through the park. He was just taking a stroll on top of the sea in the midst of this storm. And he came and spoke to them. And he told them to stop being afraid, to take courage, because he was there. And that illustrates for us this morning, folks, that not only does he come to us in these times, but he cares for us. God protects his people. The storm never gets so extreme that he doesn't know where we are. He will protect his own, even if he must walk on the water. He never comes too late. So there's no reason to fear, no reason to be afraid, no reason to be anxious or to worry, no matter how fierce the storm or how hopeless things become. When he got there, he didn't give them some kind of speech. He didn't give them some theological explanation. He didn't explain to them how he could walk on the water. He just said, cheer up, for I'm here. Don't be afraid, I'm here. Have courage, I'm here. Life, as we know now, perhaps more than ever, life is stormy. Life can be painful. Life is filled with hurts and wounds, and there's a lot of suffering. And more now, perhaps, as we look around us than maybe ever in our lifetime. But realize, we are never away from his authority. He's in control. We're never away from his knowledge. He knows all about us. And we're never away from his protective care. He takes care of us. The storm is never so severe, or the night so black, or the boat so frail that he's not there. So what should we understand as we go through this? Our comprehension this morning, we must understand that there will be more storms. This is not the last storm that we will face. As the person said, the sign said on outside of a church that I drove by this week, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Ultimately, we'll get through this. God will take us through this. And he will walk on water if he finds it necessary to get to us in the storm. And he will use this very thing to make it his pathway. All of these things happening right now, he will use to get to us. So let's keep our eyes on him. What is there to fear? Where is our confidence this morning? He's on the mountain interceding for us. Or he's with the Father on behalf of us. Or he's on the sea walking to us. But he's here. We're secure in his prayers and his power and his protection. We have his divine authority and power. We have his divine knowledge. He knows all about us, and his divine protection and care. And let us be like these disciples. When we become aware of all of these things, let us worship him like they did, saying, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God." I want to encourage you. The next two characteristics we'll study next week. Two more things that we learn from this passage about the character of God in the person of Jesus Christ. But I encourage you to move to him. Don't let all of these problems, don't let all of these difficulties, don't let these things push you away. But move to him and let him touch your life, have his way in your life like never before. You have a great opportunity. We all have a great opportunity to see the reality of God like we've never seen it before. So this morning, we're going to have prayer in just a moment. I'm going to close our service in prayer. But if you have prayer requests, if you sent them in, I'll recognize those right now. We have a few that have come in, and I want to specifically pray for you. I know there will be a lot of general prayers. We pray for one another as we move through this. But you may have specific prayers that you want to remind us of. So throughout the week, let us know, email us, contact us, communicate to us the best, your best means of communication, and we will do everything we can. If you need us for anything, let us minister to you. Give us the opportunity to help you and to serve you in any way we can. And this is not a time of fear. These are great days. I know it's not exactly what we want to hear all the time, but these are great days of opportunity. When God can shine, when God can do things in our lives, in our world, and let us realize we have a great opportunity to share the love and grace of Jesus. Let me give you a couple of three prayer requests, and then we're going to have prayer, and we'll be done this morning. So there's a family, the Wormwood family, who want comfort and loss of a son and brother. Let's remember them in their time of grief. And for Dave, for healing, let's remember him in prayer. And then for Rosetta, who fell and broke her ankle, and so we ask for healing. And so these are three requests that we want to mention this morning. And again, we know that a lot of our friends, our neighbors, our family, many have specific suffering through this virus. And so let's pray for them also as we go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we again recognize that you have divine authority and power. You have divine knowledge and divine care for us. You protect your people. And so as we submit to you this morning, we just want to praise you and thank you, Jesus, that you are God. We want to be like these disciples who worship you because we truthfully know that you are the Son of God. Scriptures remind us to thank you in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. So we thank you. We want to thank you not for the virus itself and the disease itself, but Lord, for what you're going to do and accomplish through all of this. We thank you because we know that you're in control and you only will do what needs to be done. So we come to you this morning just grateful to you for who you are. We thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died to become sin for us, paid for all of our sins, that he rose from the dead to give us victory over death. And if we would trust him as Savior, turn from our sins, believe that he died, was buried, and rose again, you tell us that you would save us. So I ask you this morning for an individual that may be watching this morning, our broadcast, I pray that you'll touch their hearts, draw them to you, and if there's anyone who does not know you as Savior, that this may be the day where they come to you in the full pardon of their sins. I ask you for Rosetta, that you will heal her broken ankle, give her peace and comfort and healing power. I pray for Dave for healing also. Whatever the Lord is going on in his life, that you might heal him. And then for the Wormwood family, for the comfort at loss of their son and brother. And Lord, so many people, thousands, yea, thousands, hundreds of thousands all over the world today that are dealing with the ravages of this disease. We pray, Lord, that you might help those that are suffering, that you'll protect people, that you'll heal as only you can, that you will give wisdom as we deal with these issues, our leaders. I pray that you'll help us as we minister to one another. Oh God, that we might be able to touch lives and share your love. Help us to not panic, but to pray. Help us not to fear, but to have faith. To believe and not to blame. To respond and not to run. And to be assured and not angry. Help us exalt and magnify your name. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Hope these words from the Word of God were a blessing to you. And again, if we can help you in any way, if we can minister to you, please let us know. And we'll respond as quickly and as well as we possibly can. And stay tuned during the week. We'll get back to you. At least a couple of times we want to communicate to you, try to give you updates and some words of encouragement, and try to communicate and keep in touch during this time when we cannot meet together. God bless you. Have a great day. Let's pray for one another. Amen. Thanks.